one. Dear Internet, I've always had a love for video games since the first game I touched, and I now express my love for video games through comical videos I produce on my channel. Although I can talk about this love for ages on end by myself, I brought my friend Radicool. He's also a special guest on this first episode of Dear Internet. Radicool has over 500,000 subscribers on YouTube, and he does gaming-related videos on his channel. He also has a second channel named MattRDK, which he discusses and uploads rap-related videos and his concerts he's been to. So, Rad, how you been?
Yo, hold up. That intro is fire, bro. You did your research. What the hell? Yo, I'm doing good. Hope you're doing good. Appreciate that meaty intro. You just, like, explained my whole life.
Yeah. So, how has your second channel been?
Second channel's been good. Growth's a little slow, but it's a nice starting from the bottom.
Yeah, I could definitely tell since you're doing a major transition with your second channel, obviously. But with a second channel from gaming-related content to rap. Although you have an audience of that, your core audience is, you know, like that, and subscribe to that, it's kind of hard to transition from there, you know?
Exactly.
I'm not too
worried about numbers on it yet, but I'm enjoying it. We just do chill streams at the moment, and then I'll dump, like, a archive on it. But, yeah, it's really chill.
Okay. So, do you have any future projects?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple more concerts I got to get up. An Astroworld concert, Vince Staples concert, and a couple others that I'm going to. But then I'm also going to try to experiment, see what else I can do on that channel.
So. By experiment, do you mean on your main channel or just both channels?
Both, actually. The main channel is just always going to have a videos, and I'm always trying out new things. Mm-hmm. On the new one, I don't want to reveal too much, but yeah, there's going to be some new stuff as well.
Okay. I feel like, for me personally, whenever I try to experiment, your numbers are kind of rough sometimes, you know, when you experiment. Yes. How do you cope with that? Do you just, like, ignore it, or just, like, try to deal and hear what they're saying, the audience? Mm-hmm.
I always appreciate feedback, because I actually do try to work off of it and try to better my product. But, I mean, there's always going to be haters, no matter how hard you try or how good you think your product is, people are still gonna hate. So I mean, I usually don't really let it get to me, like, you know. You could have a video that you spent 20 hours on and you may still get 5 dislikes. It's just how it is. So I recommend just don't let it bother you that much.
Okay. For me personally, I've had lots of future projects that have gone to failure, you know, especially Potistic, which I had big success in and only had 5 episodes on. And I feel like what Dear Internet is trying to reach is that me trying to reach out to my audience and more. So how do you feel? How do you cope with experiments failing, and how do you relaunch from it?
So if you try something new and it does fail, I would just keep pushing. I wouldn't let it set you back. I wouldn't quit. I would just try something else, or like repackage it, kind of.
Okay.
If you really are passionate about your failed experiment, just try to take the few things that succeeded and apply them to your new test subject, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
I just wouldn't fully give up on it. That's kind of my point.
Oh, okay. So I feel like that's what I'm doing with the internet. Although I'm skimming down the people, I feel like we had too many people on it. Like, no offense to anybody on it, it's just we had too many people and it was too crowded. So that's what I'm trying to do with this Dear Internet podcast, to make it with like a couple, 2 or 3 people, and just to explore random topics Potistic couldn't. I feel like it really felt like a comical podcast, and I feel like it had its own space in the podcast scene. But I feel like Dear Internet can range between anything I enjoy and want to talk about. That's why I'm repackaging, as you claim.
Exactly,
and put something new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I respect that, and I wish you the best of luck on this new podcast.
I feel so formal. Okay, do you have any creative passions you do, like, side time?
So creative passions. So, I mean, just, like, broadly, anything?
Just, like, you know, art, or, like, you know, freestyling, you know?
Oh, I see you. You're trying to get some leaks. Damn.
First
off, there's YouTube. I mean, I am a medium film major, so it kind of goes hand in hand with what I'm doing in the real world anyways. I really enjoy editing and cameras and creating content, basically. Recently, I have been getting into, I'm not like a rapper or artist per se, but I would be down to like experiment maybe. There's that. And then, no, I mean, I've never been much of like an artist. I'm not much of a
Yeah.
drawer, painter, or anything like that.
Test. Oh my
There
God.
you go, you're good. Bro, just edit it, dog.
Okay, we good, we good. Okay. I feel like for me, I do lots of trial and error for that. And
Yeah.
it's something I try to find. I try to get out of my comfort zone first, create a passion like that. 'Cause you never know, like maybe like I'll play the piano and I'll like it or not like it, or like play the drums,
Exactly.
etc. Or something, not an instrument, maybe art or something like that. Even though I'm bad at art. It's just the main focus of this is just like you have to seek discomfort or like be out of your comfort zone to find new creative passions. Because I've always had a passion for like gaming and like computer shit and like editing and like Photoshop. But like I feel like I can expand more onto
Yeah.
my creative plate, you know?
No, exactly. And the more experience you have for anything, it can apply to jobs, future opportunities,
Yeah.
and never limit yourself. Never say never until you at least give it one or two tries.
Yeah, you never
That's what I would
know.
recommend.
Yep.
Exactly. Never know.
Never
Maybe I'm the
know.
next Eminem.
Oh God.
I'm playing. Cut that out. Cut that out.
Oh, I won't, but you know. Okay. Next topic I have on my board
Let's hear it.
is gaming. So, what's your ideal like gaming console right now?
As much as I'm a PlayStation fanboy, I gotta say the Switch. Especially now that Super Smash Bros. Is out, I find myself playing the Switch every day, especially since you can also take it on the go. That's something that you can't do with a PC,
Yeah.
Xbox, or PlayStation.
Laptops are
Plus,
quaking.
that's also true. But I mean, just in general, I think the game selection on Switch, at least to this point in its lifespan, is pretty solid. Still got Animal Crossing
Okay,
coming,
so
Cuphead.
sorry, not to interrupt you, but I've
August.
seen tweets, especially for the guy named Retro, which not the Retro
Yeah,
Potato,
yeah, yeah.
but the
From
Retro
Atticus
Etika Highlighter.
Community.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he said that, not gonna lie, but he said that the games on the Switch are stale. Alright, making sure my audio is good. Let's push my mic. Okay. So he's been saying that our games are stale right now. So what's your idea about that, or like your opinion about that? Because I had a 50-50 on it, because I felt like at the time the tweet was released, it was like a month ago, but like still. Oh, it was like a Rise like Yoshi released. So yeah. And I feel like it was like 50-50 because like Yoshi released, so that pushed it a little bit, but I feel like Yoshi wasn't that much advertised, so it could have been better. And I feel like it was kind of stale, but like when the games that are already released, Smash, I mean, new Switch owner for Odyssey and Breath of the Wild, I mean, Yoshi at the time really pushed it. And I feel, I believe so. Mario Odyssey and Mario Kart 8, all these party games are allowing the Switch to keep going and stale or like port moments it's having. And then for the other question, my main console right now is the Switch. It's because it's portable. Whenever I'm bored, I don't want to go on my desk and play my
Exactly.
PS3 or whatever, etc. on PC. I grab my Switch on my dock and put it on my bed and go sleep. And it's very portable. And that's a major factor of what Nintendo wanted to do with the Switch. It's literally called the Switch. So yeah,
Exactly.
like the old me moments, yeah, I'll play on my dock, I'll play on my TV, etc. But I'll also have moments where like, this is really convenient. It's a really, like, convenience is a major factor for when you have technology. Maybe it's a phone, maybe it's a console, maybe it's a computer, laptops, and like convenience will always be a major factor. Although convenience are like can be bad, etc., convenience is a major factor in technology wise and just human wise, because we don't want to move our PS4 in the road trip. Like no one wants to do that. Just grab
Exactly.
your
It's a
Switch,
hassle,
put in your
dude.
keys. Exactly. Convenience. And for the games, I feel like the games or like pushing Nintendo, because the Wii U had a bad success, you know. But like these iconic games are coming back on the Switch. Nintendo is an iconic franchise that had dipped down from the Wii U after the Wii sales and like success, and now the Switch is the better Wii U. It's what the Wii U was supposed to be, extraordinary, out of this world. You know, Nintendo was trying to push in that convenient market, when that, you know, with the 3DS, etc. But what it tried to do, and it tried to make a home console convenient with the Wii U gamepad. But although it had flaws, the Switch has flaws too, but it's way more convenient, and has all the packing games into one, all for $300. So yeah,
No, I know.
I've said so much. But although there are like there's still people who want their own games at their, you know, like entertainment center, so we can play the games. And you know, I'm not trying to get like over console wars, so I can not start this console war. But like, Nintendo has always had iconic games. It's known for its iconic games. It's known for Wii Fit, you know,
Oh, yeah,
Smash,
that's the first one that comes
Mario,
to mind.
Zelda. All these games are reaching the adult audience to get these games, get this console, and that's where PlayStation can't reach, because it's PlayStation. It's like PlayStation and Microsoft or Xbox has not been here for so long. Like, Nintendo can reach an adult fan base. Their younger kid fan base is like newer, but like back in the day, now we're all grown up and adults. And that's how like they try to get sales to push all these iconic games. That's what made 2017 a very extraordinary year for the Switch, except for sales, its idea and its plan, and for games. It's games that had Breath of the Wild launch, okay, and then had ARMS, what, June, Mario Kart in
Yeah,
a
it
Mario Kart in April, Odyssey in October, okay, like, and 2018 had major successes too, and maybe 2019. But the thing is, 2017 had launched of the Switch, and now it's just going like normal. Like, you have to do that sometimes with your major iconic IPs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think they've had really good success overall, and they're only gonna keep growing. And now that PlayStation and Xbox just released a newer console, like what, a year or two ago,
Yeah,
I
but I feel
think.
like with Xbox, they are, it's a huge meme, but like they're just re keep remastering their own
Exactly.
successor. I was like, bro, okay, Xbox One is cool, but like, bro, Xbox One X, Xbox One S, like, there's
Exactly.
too many versions of it. Just completely like take out like the failures of the Xbox One, and just re refurb it and like restart what Xbox was, what the fans want.
Exactly.
So yeah.
And I mean, the same can even go with PlayStation. You know, even as a
Yeah.
big PlayStation fan, I will admit to just kind of
There's still
repackage it.
flaws.
But at least with like Nintendo, they went from handheld to Wii U to Switch. It's like they're actually changing their hardware, giving the fans what they
And
want, like
that's a
you
major
said.
key, convenience
Exactly.
with technology. 3DS was a huge convenience on road trips. And
Yep.
just help, yeah, it's really convenient. Oh, 3DS in my pocket. I'll play some 3DS. Or you can't do it on the PlayStation. You can't do it on the Xbox. You can't usually do that on PC.
Exactly.
Which Nintendo, that's why Nintendo was the first. It was known as the convenient gaming system, the 3DS. And that's why I think the PSP, and maybe if Xbox is gonna have a handheld, it's gonna fail, because Nintendo already has established a reputation for handhelds and convenient consoles.
Yep, I completely agree with that.
Oh my god, I just talk so
Like,
much.
I mean, facts though, I've heard everything, and like, it's
Yeah.
true. Because I mean, PlayStation has even tried with the Vita
PSP? Vita?
and the PSP. They've both pretty much been failures. It's like Nintendo was already there as the dominant handheld
Console market, exactly.
console market. Yeah, and it's like they're not gonna be overthrown.
They just can't, because they already have this established reputation. Also, the Vita, Sony was sued for that shit, you know?
No, I
Because
know.
they had failed
That was a big
expectations
blow-up.
of what it was sold as. And Nintendo, they don't do that. Although 3DS does have flaws, Switch does have flaws. It's way bigger than like most copycats will be, because copycats, all they're trying to do, get money. Oh, it's like saying, what if? All right, so say like Zendo, he did a reading tweets. Now I'm doing reading tweets. It's like the Reddit shit, you know? Like, the only reason why I did the reading Zendo tweets was like to copy him on like purpose, you know? To like piss him off.
Yeah, it's like a joke.
It's like a joke, but like people are actually doing this for like money. So it's pretty sad how you can't come up with your original ideas. Originality is a huge factor, and it's what made Nintendo skyrocket. It was the first one to be convenient. The Wii, you know? Exactly.
I agree, and I am very proud to be like a fan of their market and their brand, because basically for that reason, they're just so original. And as like a PlayStation and somewhat Xbox player, Nintendo just feels so different from all the other consoles. There's just something so unique about them.
I feel like also with the games that they try to reach out and what the normal PlayStation game or Xbox game. Like, I feel like Nintendo has a huge reputation. It's like a 50-50. They have huge great RPGs, Xenoblade, Breath of the Wild, etc. They also have family and consumer games that anyone can play. Mario Kart, Arms, Punch Out, any other games, Smash, Mario Party, etc. That's what we try to get. We try to get, and anyone can play the games. That's what makes PlayStation and Xbox fail. Is that PlayStation and Xbox, right now, it looks like we're trying to target the young adult, you know, teen audience. And like, although that's a huge audience in gaming scene, it's Nintendo is getting bigger sales because that's not all of the population. But we got little kids, we got seniors, etc. Like adults, like older adults, and like that's a huge population the world too.
Exactly.
And so that's where PlayStation and Xbox lack, and where Nintendo succeeds heavily with their systems and games.
Agreed, man.
Oh my God, let's talk so much. Like I'll do presentations and shit, and I'll have like flashcards, but like this is literally just off the bat. Like
Really?
all I have is
Speaking
that
from the heart.
intro and then topics. This is,
And look at you.
yeah,
You
bro.
know your stuff too, because I mean, you've been throwing out some facts.
So, although we're talking about Nintendo, how do you feel about PlayStation not being at E3 this year?
I was actually very surprised. That announcement was what, a year ago, maybe
Yeah,
a little bit
and like
under.
it's now starting to take effect 2 months before E3.
Yeah, I would say so. Now that they're kind of doing their own little like Nintendo Directs, but PlayStation Directs, I don't
That
remember what they're
was
called.
terrible. A State of
Yeah,
Play
that was State
is
of Play. That's what it is.
a
Yeah,
State of Play was terrible.
that was State of
Like,
VR
okay,
already.
like it was literally State of VR. It's literally third parties and VR. That's literally what it
Exactly.
was. And I felt like Nintendo was like that, you know? Like, Nintendo was weird. And when they started doing live stream events, like, what
Yeah.
the fuck, Nintendo? We can swear, by the way, because it's explicit. What the
Hey.
fuck, Nintendo? Why the fuck are you doing live streams today? Like, live confrontations or, like, conferences at E3 and shit. But now, Nintendo Direct has been so well known as a live stream event, because it is a live stream event. It's so, they, Nintendo fans and like fans in general have grown to Nintendo Direct, where they hated it at first. So I feel like that's gonna
Exactly.
happen to Sony, and they gotta get better at this year. Sony, they failed their live stream. The live stream crashed 2 years ago at E3, and now their State of Play was terrible. It was laggy apparently, and its content was lacking.
Yeah. I
It
mean,
just felt like, hey, VR games, whatever. I was like, we shouldn't announced it. Like, its reputation, the State of Play, it felt like a great announcement. Oh, what the fuck? Oh, it felt like a great announcement, but like, we should have just like the indies, like the nindies, that's its
yeah,
own
exactly.
thing. Indies. So we should have like VR knees, because
Exactly.
it felt like VR. It felt like VR and third parties, indie nindies. That's what Nintendo has. Nintendo Direct, I feel like Nintendo Direct has major third parties that have huge reputation, or like a huge reputation, and their own games, you know? Nintendo Directs are not always good, you know? But they're what they're supposed to be. Major games by Nintendo or major third parties and 40 minutes, 40, 30 minutes. And it's what the Nindies is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a recap of like whatever it is, whatever it's at. And it's literally third parties, which the State of Play felt like.
Exactly, what State I know.
Was. And the State of Play felt like a Direct, which wasn't.
And I would also say PlayStation, they kind of just have, they're very limited as to what they want to announce. And like, they're really restricted.
Definitely.
And it's like, you got Last of Us 2, which is not ready to be released. And then you just have no other big titles. Mm-hmm. They've been focusing all their energy on their VR, which has been failing. Like, while on the other hand, Nintendo's got so much in their pocket.
Here's my problem with VR. The VR problem is that with VR exceeding and like getting better over and over, like quickly, whenever you release a major product, VR product, or a major VR product, I feel like it goes to shit after a while. You're gonna go to shit. Like the HTC Vive is cool. You know why? No, I'm Oculus. It made HTC Vive made the Oculus obsolete. I'm gonna be real with you. It made it obsolete. It was everything better than it made the Oculus times 10. Everything better, you know? And then there's also new things trying to top the HTC Vive. And so what the VR like market is like, it's so hard because like they just one up each other. And like PlayStation VR, although PlayStation VR is really good, is overpriced. $400, no one's gonna, barely anyone's gonna spend $400 for a $300 console. No one's gonna spend that. Be real with me. No one's gonna spend that for a $300 console.
It's just not worth. And I wouldn't even pay like $200.
Yeah, exactly. $200, $150, you know? And like, that's where the VR market fails. That like, it just keeps obsoleting each other layer of new VR headset. And like, yeah, that's where it lacks. That's why I'm not trying to get any VR stuff lately, because they just obsolete each other. And I feel like once we have concrete like brands, now I can buy. Like, like when video games, like in the 1990s, like 2000s, I felt, I wasn't born, but I feel like people felt like, which one do we buy? Because like, no three consoles now are now established and concrete were there. Because like, Nintendo was pretty big, but like Xbox and PlayStation were new. We couldn't know if we were trusted or not. They weren't concrete as consoles yet, and like companies. So that's where VR lacks right now.
Yeah, exactly. It's too new. As you said, it's overpriced, and I've personally like used it before. I just feel like
VR,
you can't
cool.
have that thing
it's
on.
Just like it's too overpriced, obsolete each other. It's just failing and reputation.
Mm-hmm. And you can't have that thing on for more than like a half hour without like getting a headache. Like there's still a bunch of kinks they gotta work out with the technology itself to make it A, safer, and B, like more enjoyable.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm sure they're gonna keep developing it. Nintendo's now hopped on the bandwagon with
what
Nintendo
the
Labo VR.
Labo? That came out today. Mm-hmm. I was gonna buy that shit, but that was $80.
That's true. I mean, compared to PlayStation, it's kind of cheap, but like, it's still just not interesting enough to me.
Yep. I feel like where Labo VR lacks is how its content, it's not replayable. I'm gonna tell you that.
That's true.
It's not replayable. Yeah, it's theater mode and, you know, whatever, and Mario Odyssey, we can watch cutscenes again, but it's the thing with Labo, it's fun for 30 minutes. That's it. Build it. That's it.
Exactly.
It's not replayable. Where the fuck am I gonna put my Labo? Like, that's the thing. It's cool for a little bit. It's literally a waste of money. it's not a good buy for a long run. You know, like a PC or a Switch or a console.
That was, you know? It was just kind of the, like, it's what we were talking about earlier. It's just a temporary thing, experiment. You know?
It's like a temporary entertainment system.
I agree. It was Nintendo's experiment. They were just trying something new out. It's literally just cardboard, so it wasn't going to cost them much to make. But,
wait, how are the Jokers, like, using Wii U boxes now?
I did not.
You never heard that joke when Labo was announced? Oh, Labo came out, like, 420 last year, bro.
Oh, yeah.
That was funny. So.
Wow, 420. So, wait. Yeah. So, it's almost a whole year old?
Yeah, bro.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, although VR could have been cool for the Switch, Nintendo did it right. Nintendo, it's like, how? Alright, VR is a good market for a good market right now. It sells good, you know, from HTC Vive and Oculus. So, how are we going to spend, how are we going to let the consumers buy it where they can afford it and stuff, afford it and shit, and where it's not, it's where we're just experimenting. I feel like Labo VR is experimenting into the VR market right now. It's not a good experiment right now. A good experiment. It's not replayable. Where most games on the PC VR headsets are good because you have this entire market on Steam, Microsoft, etc. where third parties are making games. Beat Saber, other games, I don't know. Because I don't have a VR. But I can ask my friend Traffico. Yeah. He has a VR headset. He has lots of games on VR. Exactly. Yeah. And, there's lots of games made by third parties that keep playing and are playable. And that's where Labo VR lacks. And it's software. Yeah. You know?
That's true. Plus, I mean, it's literally just a piece of cardboard that holds your Switch in place.
Yeah.
It's the, whatchamacallit, software that you're paying for. Mm-hmm. The games itself.
Yeah. So, speaking of gaming, let's go into the Nintendo community.
Like, let's hear it.
What's your thoughts on the N10, and other stuff like that? 10D tubers.
Oh, man. You make, like, me talk about 10D.
Nah, they'll talk about 10D. But, like, what's your thoughts on the Nintendo community right now?
Well, Nintendo as a whole is really cool. Just seeing all the events that have been going on, like recently being at PAX East, Nintendo booth was packed all 4 days, and everyone's always so happy when, anything Nintendo's going on. The Nintendo New York store is always going crazy. But if in terms of YouTube, it's honestly a little quiet. That, like, CND's kind of been gone.
CND,
exactly.
CND's taking a break. I won't get into CND topic.
Yeah.
That's a very controversial. And, you know, like, the internet can get into controversial topics, but not right now. But, like, I feel like CND, good guy, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But Nintendo community right now is lacking that excitement, that content that everyone grabs onto. And I feel like it's getting a little stale. It's dying down. Ever since CND was the pioneer of the line stuff, everyone's doing line stuff. Everyone's doing generic vlogs, waiting in line at the Nintendo store. Yeah. So it's just all stale from 2017. And I feel like people, comical videos like me and Zendo and I, are just spicing up Nintendo content, you know? Making something new. Although I don't do a lot of Nintendo content that much anymore. Yeah. I'm making some comical videos. I have fun making them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You can do whatever you like, but also just in general, I feel like we're evolved in the YouTube Nintendo community around, like, Etika and CND, and they're both moving away from Nintendo, as are all of us, like,
that's
small
very
YouTubers.
Respectable, you know.
Exactly.
Like, I feel like the Nintendo community is just like a temporary thing. It's like new stuff, new video, direct the reaction. Like, everybody and their mom does that, you know?
And exactly. It just happens. And me personally, and a lot of the N10 members, we are slowly branching out from just restricting ourselves to Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Like, I know a couple months ago, Kia Time was doing Kingdom Hearts on PlayStation.
Yeah.
And I've never outright said I'm just a Nintendo channel. I've always allowed myself to do, you know, PlayStation or just some random little skit.
Yeah. So,
like you said, Nintendo is very temporary.
Mm-hmm. Let's get the names. Like, no offense, but, like, if you had Nintendo names, like, stuff in the N10, you are limiting yourself onto what content you can make. Your names are cool, but like you are limiting yourself to what you want. Like, I feel like no offense to Pikachu, you're watching this, but Pikachu, you are very limiting yourself onto what you want to do. It just seems like a
That's true.
Nintendo channel where Radical, you, Zendo, and I have these random ass names, or Blitz,
That's what I was
literally
going
his last
for.
name, or which is random names that we have, and we can do whatever we want. So yeah, and that's what
Your name can
potis
definitely go a long way.
going back to potis thinking podcast, where the internet, it could be anything about the internet, anything I want to talk about, but potistic, it just felt like very comical, you know, and community and like entertainment, which I feel like it was supposed to be, but I feel like there's too much kinks to it that we didn't work out, so yeah.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean. In general, like when I first opened up my channel, I wanted a very, like,
Kingdom
ambiguous
based?
name. No, not even. It's like I just wanted a name where it was
Oh,
just a
how did you
name.
come up with Radical? It's my question.
Bro, everyone asks. It's honestly a really boring story. I was
Tell us, bro.
laying in
That's
my
all the
bed.
time.
I was laying in my bed. It was late. I was like, I'm gonna start a new channel. And I think I was like on PewDiePie's channel, and I was like, I kind of want something like that, where it's like
Like something
random
random. I don't know
syllables.
anything
Yeah.
that doesn't limit yourself.
So I was just pulling up a bunch of names, and I got to like Radical, and I was like, how could I respell this? Kind of like how PewDiePie is like Pew and then die.
D pie.
Exactly it. So then I just got to this spelling, and I was like, you know what? I like it. And then it
Okay.
stuck, and I kind of have run with it. And then I got the, little catchphrase as an
Stay
outro.
radical.
Exactly. Like it's all just kind of come very naturally. And whenever people ask, like, how did I get this name? I just kind of chuckle because it's like, I always forget. Like, it's not, I don't know, it's just become so ordinary to me, but it is a really weird name.
For
But.
me, my name Blaze, it came from Blaziken, my favorite Pokemon. Although I wasn't
Oh,
that
there you go.
much into the Pokemon scene and I played a lot of Pokemon games, I
Yeah.
loved Blaziken and the what generation was he in? Something like that. Like the
Three.
anime. From
Oh,
it, I was
God.
like a little kid, I was watching the anime. I was like, Blaziken's so
Bro.
cool. And like I based my name off of him and I felt like Blaziken limited myself to Nintendo content. So I shortened it down to Blaze.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. It's like how you brought up like Linkachu. I don't really think. Yeah, maybe Luke.
Hyrule and Luke.
Nobody else is really too restricting. And I mean, they still also do other content. Like, I know Linkachu has done, like, JoJo content and stuff like that. But just in
Oh,
general, yeah.
Nintendo?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I
You're
feel like if
limiting
you.
yourselves just through a
Yeah, you're
name.
limiting. You can always go against it, but then it's just, like, an excuse for people to turn on you and be like, oh, well, you're not even following what your name suggests. It's
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
unsubscribe.
That's where you don't even think about it when you're making your name, but like it's a
Yeah,
major
exactly.
factor in making your name on social media, especially for content making platforms.
Exactly. And I mean, at least Luke and Linkachu, they have succeeded in their name and their goals. They got more subs than
There's
me.
always
They're very
something
constant.
new to do. Gotta
But
get
yeah,
out of your comfort zone.
exactly.
All right,
I
be
would
right back.
recommend if you're starting. Yeah, I'll get.
Need to talk, whatever.
I would recommend if you're starting a new channel, just kind of have a very random name. Just go for it, have fun, and don't limit yourself, like Blaze said earlier. Definitely just have something where you can expand your horizons and do anything you like.
Okay, we're back alive. So
Yo-yo.
I'm gonna ask you, how's N10? How are you
I
guys?
love Intern. I'm not gonna lie, when we first started it, and I don't know how many people know this, but it's like I thought it was cringy, like, oh, it's just another
No, I can see
group.
that. I can see that.
Yeah, nobody's gonna take it seriously. Slowly over time, at least like to the point where we are now, they've all become like really good friends, especially in March when I met five of them in person.
In Chicago?
Yep, three in Chicago and then
And
two came
then
to
the
PAX.
PAX, yeah,
Yep,
I was about to bring
because
that
like
up.
everything's
You guys
coming
have
full
very
circle.
established a community.
Exactly. It's not even like just a group. We're not It's a community,
It
a
just feels
family,
like a
and it's like,
huge collaboration.
exactly. And that was our goal. And I'm honestly shocked that it's come full circle and it's working. We're all growing at a pretty steady rate, and it's great overall. I really love everyone in the group, and I look forward to the future.
Okay. Are you guys gonna do any other projects? You know, everyone meeting
Yeah,
at what,
actually.
E3? E3 is coming up soon. You know, all those small time events or big time events or just meeting up in general, you know? Are you guys gonna do that soon?
Yeah, so I know a couple of our members have a little small plan here and there. I know a couple of our dudes are going out to SmashCon.
Oh yeah, SmashCon's what, August in Virginia?
Yeah, I know Ribs is gonna be there, and I don't want to confirm anyone else because I'm not too sure, but I know a couple people are trying to go there. PAX 2020, we're trying to get a big group, possibly E3. So there's a couple other groups. But also the 1 year anniversary of the Oath is actually gonna
Oh.
be in May. So we're planning some type of big collab for that. So if you're still
Okay.
listening and big on the group, I would look out for that.
Okay. So, how was the process of creating N10 Plus? Do you guys felt like it was time to add more members and not be
Add more members.
limited to the name of N10?
Yeah, so the first two N10 members or N10 Plus members were Shy Guy Steph and the Litz. I think it just got to the point where we realized the community had so many other like quality viable members, and we just figured N10 Plus we're adding on members, so the plus sign just speaks for itself, and it's just our little expansion group, and that's how it's all come full circle. Obviously we've lost Blue Saru, who was an original member.
Whatever happened
But
to him, bro? I was
dude.
never big into him, because, like, I never watched him in general, that much. But, like, he seemed cool, you know? But whatever happened with him?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know. He was one of the first N10 members I actually met like online, and he just kind of got busy with school, and I think, to be honest with you, the short answer would be he just lost his passion for YouTube, deleted his channel, and none of us have heard from him, man.
No, I can honestly respect him, you know,
Yeah,
and
that's fair.
like I could see where he's coming from, you know, C&D, you know, and we just lost our passion and we just want to proceed new creative passions. But I feel like how we did it was, you know, severe. So C&D, and you know, everyone makes mistakes. Maybe he'll come back, maybe he won't. I just feel like that you have to sometimes take that break and pursuing what you're doing and find something new to do, you know?
You're here to give yourself time and try new things.
Yeah.
So if that's what he's doing, I would completely respect it, and we have no hard feelings. He was still N10 fam, so we hope the best for that dude.
Okay. Fuck, I just forgot what topic I was about to go on. Shit. Damn. What you been doing the past couple of days, bro?
Well, it is my last month of college, so I've
Okay,
been pretty
really?
busy.
Wait,
Yes.
which year are you in?
I am a sophomore, so I mean, just like
Sophomore? Okay.
last
So are you
month
going the junior year?
of the year. Yes, I'll be a junior in September. Just been college, work, staying on that YouTube grind. Been trying to post videos like at least once a week, if not like two videos a week. And yeah, I mean, it's just kind of a constant grind. That's what I've been up to.
So I think what, I don't know what back in, 'cause I haven't done my research on this, but like a couple, like last year you kind of dipped down on making content because of school reasons. How did you recover from that, you know, with losing most of your audience just because you had school?
So it was started around this time, actually last year. I did a couple morning streams in the summer, and I was just kind of realizing like I need a break. This wasn't for me. Had a couple like family personal situations, and then after that, from I want to say like August until late last year, I really was gone. I kind of felt bad. N10 had like just started, and I was missing. I maybe posted two videos in a span of like 4 months. It was pretty bad. But then I came back with a Where's Radical video. It kind of blew up, and everyone accepted me. Like nearly my entire audience was welcoming me back. And yeah, I just kind of picked right up where I left off, and I'm very grateful for the respect and love that people have given me.
And that's a huge factor to for making stuff like that, and especially with Zendo, and especially in this video, sabbatical, that you have to build a dedicated audience. You know, have you heard of Call
Exactly.
Me Carson?
What was
Have you heard of a YouTuber named Call Me Carson?
that? I have not actually.
So he is kind of like Donkey, but like random shit. So he's done
Yeah.
Fiverr videos, he's done Discord videos, you know, stuff like that with his friends, and like. You should check him out. He's very comical, but
Yeah,
that's
I
very
love
different.
donkeys, so.
So, he has a very dedicated fan base, you know, who stick with him, do streams, and yeah, it's very funny how they just stick with him and they're so dedicated. But the main factor of this is that you have to build a dedicated audience to what you're doing, like Zendo. Zendo deleted his channel out of fucking nowhere, and most of his subscribers came back. Like that's how you know they're dedicated,
Exactly.
or your Where's Radical video. That shit skyrocketed off the roofs, and you know, I was kind of a fan of you, not really at the time. So
Yeah.
yeah, I was like, what the fuck? This video actually exploded. You know, I saw my feed. I was like, yeah, I'll watch it. So yeah, I laughed at it. You know, so yeah, and but the basis is you have to make a dedicated audience that follow you, especially where you're Matt RDK from earlier discussion that you that. Your core audience is there on that channel, you know?
Exactly.
And you
And
have to distinguish who's who.
that's mind blowing. It's really getting to the point where a lot of our N10 members, like, we just have a be like you, Zendo, a couple other people like Sarah, Jerome, Isaiah, a bunch of other people that I could name. It's like, it's just you, if you're starting off on YouTube, you have to build that community and stick with them. Don't treat them as fans, treat them as friends. And over time, they'll treat you just as good as you treat them and show you support on all your content. And I feel like Matt RDK really shows that because a lot of them don't even care for rap or music or anything like that, but they still come support me just because of who I am. And yeah, I mean, I really appreciate it.
So that's a major factor. So yeah.
Exactly.
Also, I want to ask you, how was the process of getting ribs on N10 Plus? Was he like really open to it?
Yeah, so Ribs is actually really cool. I love the dude. He re reminds me of like a lot of myself because we're both very like meme channels. We're two of the only like kind of meme out of there dudes in N10. But yeah, I believe it was Savage Luffy, who's Azeo. He does a lot of like promoting in the N10 community. And one day I just clicked on it and it was Ribs. And I was watching his stream. I was like, this dude, he just has a vibe about him that just screams N10. And then we started monitoring him for a couple weeks. We reached out to him. He was immediately supporting all of us and saying how much he loved the group. And it all came together so quick. We just knew he was meant for the group. And he became our 14th member. Or I guess I
Ooh.
should say 13th because of Saru. But
Oh, damn. It do
yeah,
be
no,
like
that's how he
that.
got in. We found him and then he kind of jumped right on board. And he's been just a seamless transition into a family member.
Back to the old topic. That's how you know where you listen to your audience. And even though Savage Luffy wasn't trying to get ribs inside N10, it happened, you know? Like,
Exactly. You
it's
never know.
all from one person of the group or a YouTuber looking at the Discord, their what or etc. Twitter, you know, and finding stuff that other your audience enjoys and looking at it and see how you can like process from it and how you can like work with it, you know. It's like
Exactly.
audio it's always like interacting with your audience, because I feel like if you don't interact with your audience will not interact with you.
Exactly. That's what I was saying earlier. It's like you gotta treat how you want them to treat you. It's kind of a partnership. I
So
mean, once you get bigger, then obviously you can't really
it's hard,
interact
but
with
you
the
know, people
community.
still try to do, you
Yeah.
know, with
But
streams,
starting
you know,
out,
with
you have
streams
to.
and you know, Discord, Patreon, you know.
There's many opportunities.
So what's are you gonna do any content like okay, so I've seen you do a lot of gaming content recently. And you just, I know you're not just distinguished to gaming content, but like, what type of content are you gonna try to do soon?
I feel like my channel mainly is known for my kind of stupid, cringy,
Comical.
comedical, skits and stuff around that nature. Yeah, sure, I could just hook up my Elgato and do a gameplay. But like you said earlier,
But so
like
average, it's
everyone
just so
does that.
stale, you know?
Exactly. So I feel like after, the Smash video that Etika destroyed way back, my Lame-O video, Where's Radical? I feel like that's kind of the stuff that I thrive on and really enjoy making. So I want to do a lot more of those. And then also in general, a couple of reactions here and there. I've really been enjoying doing vlogs, especially after Chicago and PAX East. But yeah, I mean, you just kind of got to find your niche and roll with it.
Yeah, it's back to the thing. It's always trial and error. You gotta see what happens, you know? Like, I feel like
Exactly.
a big YouTuber, like the 3D text intro of Etika watched. I feel like, was that kind of heartbreaking to you that your favorite, one of your favorite YouTubers had like destroyed your channel and like your
Honestly,
intro? Because I feel like for me, I would have, you know, as a young boy on the
yeah.
internet, I would be hard to cope with that, you know?
To
But
be honest with you, Etika is actually one of my favorite YouTubers, probably like top three, top five.
somewhere.
But at the time, I was more excited that like he was noticing my stuff. I was a little sad. I was like, damn, like this dude's destroying it. But now looking back on it, like I just find it so comedic. It's like, wow, like I don't know. It's really hard to explain, but it's like I actually have no hard feelings from it. I know some people would probably be
Like
super offended, but I enjoyed it.
you have to listen to other people and get constructive criticism. Although Etika was trashing on it, you know, not trying to get constructive criticism. You know, you can. It was pretty obvious that people who did not enjoy that, and you have to bounce back from that personally as a
Exactly.
young creator as yourself at the time. You, I could have been hard to cope with it, you know, with most people like that, and you have to really bounce back from stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it got like a lot of negative reception after that, just how Etika kind of portrayed it. But I mean, that's kind of what I was setting
Mob
myself up
mentality.
for, asking for him to see it anyways. But yeah, I mean, like you said, it was just feedback. So obviously, I killed that intro as soon as possible. And yeah, I've learned from it. But I think it was just a really cool experience, and I'm grateful that he had actually watched that video.
Okay. So, here's our one of our last topics. How do you feel about podcasts and being on this one? And being on
Yeah,
Nice Guys?
I was actually just gonna bring that up. I enjoy podcasts. I love being on them. I love just getting to
Enjoy
talk and
listening to them?
talk.
What type of podcast do you listen to if you do listen to podcasts?
Yeah, I listen to a couple. I listen to, I don't know if you know, Up Up Down Down. He's like a WWE superstar. He does a
Oh,
couple podcasts.
I've never heard of that, but I'll check it out.
Him. Obviously, I listen to all the Skycast that Nice Guy does. I'm definitely interested in listening to all future podcasts from this series.
Dear Internet?
Yes, Dear Internet.
Every single
And
Friday, by the way.
every single Friday,
Every single
better
Friday.
subscribe.
Wait, is it every single Friday?
Yeah.
I think it's like twice a month.
Twice a month.
Hey, I'll try to do
That's
every single
good.
Friday if I can.
Yeah. But no, I mean, in general, I don't do them just because
You're just
I don't
busy?
know. That's No, it's not even that. It's just like that's not really the content that I want to put out there. But as a viewer, I do enjoy listening to podcasts, especially if they're, informative or comedic. So I'm kind of 50-50 on them.
Okay. Oh my God. But a thing with podcasts and why I love them so much is that I feel like they reach out to the viewer. And I want the reason why I'm making this Dear Internet podcast and why I started Podtistic is to reach out to the fan base and talk to them like I'm talking to them personally. I
Exactly.
want to make the internet very raw. You know, cut out the hiatus parts. You know, or like we're gone for a bit.
Yeah.
You know, but like r barely edit it. You know. To make it feel like I'm talking to the viewer. That's where
Yeah, just like it's real.
it's real. I gotta be a friend to the viewer, you know? That's why we gotta keep like listening, you know, or keep watching, you know? So you're watching this, you're listening to this by the end of this. Thank you for listening. You're one of the people who I'm trying to reach out to. If you're a new viewer of me, if you're from my channel, subscribe or subscribe to the podcast because That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to reach out and just talk about topics on the internet. And maybe next episode, we'll have some of the same topics, you know? But it's just talking with different people's perspectives. Some episodes will be by myself. You know, it's kind of boring. Also be like shorter episodes. But I feel like this episode has gone like an hour or so, or like 40 minutes.
Yeah, it was a pretty good length.
So yeah. But like, the whole point of a podcast is to reach out to the viewer in my eyes. Like a live stream. A live stream is supposed to reach out to viewers, you know?
Exactly. The interaction.
Mm-hmm. It's the interaction with the viewer that makes them keep coming.
Mm-hmm. And Q&As, I will say, I definitely...
Like, yeah, Patreons.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely appreciate that, like, podcasts are just raw. It's just a content creator raw, or whoever you are.
Live
just
streams are
talking,
raw,
you know?
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's a whole basis to YouTube. I get videos. I get it. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's a certain thing about podcasts and live streams that are so, like, addictive. Like,
yeah.
Keep listening. So, like, one of my favorite podcasts is the Colin Samir podcast. They're young filmmakers named Colin Samir. You should check them out because they're, like, hella cool. They know how to tell a story. But yeah. They're called the Colin Samir podcast. They're a duo YouTubers. Where they just talk about things. They talk about, like, let me read you some of the titles. How to delete Instagram and take a break from social media. How to be more of an athlete with Paul Rablet. How to change the world with Yes Theory. The art of love, kindness, and empathy with Houston Craft. Creating a career, doing what you love. Finding your niche audience. Dealing with uncertainty and looking back at 2018. Finding the artist within yourself. Like, all these titles are what they are trying to do. They are trying to talk to the viewer and tell them their feedback, tell them their opinions on certain topics, you know, with special guests. And that's what I really want to do with this podcast, is to reach out to the viewer and just talk to them normally, like I can.
Exactly.
That's what I love about podcasts, you know?
Yeah, and I appreciate that viewpoint. I definitely agree. And I don't know, it's just kind of cool. It's like, you can watch Blaze's videos, you can watch my videos, but it's like, now I see what you're saying, like, watching a podcast, I mean, this is just a genuine conversation.
It's very a different perspective. Like, exactly. Podcasts are not videos. They're not visually appealing sometimes. They're audio appealing. We're supposed to listen to it. And, like, I feel like listening... music, like, it's a very distraction from other things. When I'm doing my homework, I'll listen to podcasts. But, like, podcasts are for half and half, to interact with the viewer, talk about their opinions on certain topics, etc., on what or news, etc., on what the podcast is about, and the other 50 on, you know, trying to like entertain the other person. To, like,
yeah,
help,
exactly.
help you do other things. Like, with this podcast, I'm trying to help you do other things. If you're doing your homework now, that's sick. If you're doing creative projects right now, that's sick. If you're making a video right now, that's sick. If you're drawing, that's sick. That's cool, whatever. That's you. That's your creative process. That's your creative passions. And I respect that a lot. And that's what I want this podcast to be about, is to help you find your way while listening to this podcast.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the cool thing about podcasts. Like, you can do whatever you have to do, college, school, work.
And you just listen. Just
doing anything, and yeah, like just having it on the background.
Okay, I'm not expecting everyone to, like, listen to this, but you did listen to this. There's probably certain parts you probably forgot about, you know? And, you know, it just happens. You know, you're just more concentrated on the homework or career process, passions. I get that. So, yeah, that happens to me. But there's certain things about the podcast that, like, hook you onto more things. So, next episode, maybe I'll get a special guest. Maybe I'll get Zendo. Maybe I'll be Gab. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'll get Litz. Maybe I'll get someone from Anta. Maybe I'll get the... Maybe I'll get Radical again. You want him again. But the whole basis is that to talk with another person and to talk to you personally.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
So we're all circling back. To this main idea of the 50-50 of helping you do something and, you know, talking to the viewer.
Yeah, and I feel like at least with this episode and the direction of your podcast, I think you will succeed with that goal.
Thank you. I feel like this is like really great starter episode.
Yeah, I like it.
Really? Would you listen
And I
more?
mean, yeah, I would. And I appreciate being on the first one, Chief.
Yeah, dude.
Quite the honor.
Okay, thanks for listening to the Dear Internet podcast. Send your suggestions on the Dear Internet Twitter, Dear Internet Cast, or at Dear Internet Cast. Maybe we'll start. Make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Make sure to listen to Apple iTunes. I hope that's in yet. Make sure to listen to Google Play. Make sure to listen on Spotify. If all those things are on, I'm not sure yet. So yeah, and make sure to live life. And stay radical.
Hey, there you go. I was waiting for it.
All right. See ya.